Hebrews chapter 1. That's it. Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 1, you're going to be here about 4 hours. Amen. I want to read the first four verses. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the world, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, set down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Have you ever studied name? Has a more excellent name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, as we come to Your Word this day, we thank You that You've given it to us.
Amen.
We ask, Lord, that You'd give me freedom and ease and power to preach that only the Spirit of God can give. That You would suit the message to the need of every heart here today. And I pray, God, You'd get glory to the name of Jesus Christ by it all. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
I don't know what kind of Christianity you have. I don't know exactly how you were raised or what you grew up believing. I don't know what sort of churches you've had for a background. I don't know how you treat the Bible in your house. You may think it's a very special book, and you may set it up and be sure the dust is off of it and put nothing over the top of it. And when you wear it, you might put it in your breast pocket just close to your heart, and you might treat it very special. But do you believe it's the Word of God?
Amen.
Do you believe it's the Word of God? An old saint once said, has God spoken? I mean, that's your first question to answer as far as I'm concerned. The question of life is, has God spoken?
Yes.
All right, the second question then is, what did He say? See, it doesn't matter what Dr. Doodledigger says down at the cemetery.
No, it doesn't.
It matters what God said.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what the psychologists or the educators of the world or even what your daddy said. It matters what God said.
Amen.
Has God spoken?
Amen.
If God's spoken, let's hear what God has to say. Amen?
Amen.
Well, now, I taught English for years, and let's just see if we can find a sentence here. What is the subject of that? I read you one sentence, by the way. Verses 1 through 4 are one sentence.
Amen.
Notice, what is the subject of that sentence? It's God. And we got an awful lot of words in there, but you want to see the verb? Spake. God spake. Do you see it? There's your subject and there's your verb. That's who it's talking about, and that's what it says about Him. It's talking about God. And you know what it says? God spoke.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That's one of the greatest revelations ever to come. That's one of the greatest truths you'll ever get a hold of. That's something, if you ever get a hold of it, it'll change your life. If you're lost, it can get you saved. And my friend, if you're saved, it can make a strong believer out of you.
Amen.
God has spoken.
Amen.
What a truth. In all the confusion there is out here in this world, in all the garbage being printed every day, in all of the books that men amass and read and force you to read, in all the things you spend your time in, there's one great truth. God has spoken.
Amen.
That's the foundation of Christianity.
Amen.
That's the foundation of any truth you can come to. If there is a God, first of all, and that God created everything, including you, if there is a God that is all-wise, all-knowing, who knows the end from the beginning, who has never made a mistake, never once been caught off guard, and if that God has ever spoken and that God is truth, then my friend, you ought to listen to what He has to say.
Amen.
You know the problem? Some of you don't believe God's really spoken. You think, well now, David spoke, and Abraham spoke, and Paul spoke, and Peter spoke, but God didn't speak. Where is the Word of God today? Where is the Word of God? Is the Word of God inspired? Can we put any trust in any book? Well, which translation is it? In what language is it? Can you find it? Well, I had to answer some questions for myself at being a preacher of the gospel. I went off to college and got my degree and got it in Bible as my first major. And I went to the cemetery also, and that's where they bury preachers, in case you didn't know. Cemeteries. It rhymes, doesn't it? Must be close. They bury preachers. Do you know what they do? The first thing they do in any Bible college in the country is take your confidence away from this book I got in my hand right here. And they put it in the professor.
Amen.
But at any rate, I came to the place one time where I lost my confidence in the book I hold in my hand right here. And when I lost my confidence in the book, I quit preaching. That's right. If I don't have the Word of God to preach, then I'm just another counselor, another philosopher, another guy with a good idea. And as far as I'm concerned, I go 6 days and five nights. I've been going like this for years. You know something? I wouldn't spend my time at nights away from my family and doing what I do if I didn't believe that was the Word of God.
Amen.
I'd put the book in the shelf, dust it off like some of you do, and forget it. Because what's any better about what I preach than what some Hindu Raja preaches or some modern liberal psychologist teaches or what your science textbooks in school teach? What's different? Well, this book claims for itself, the book I hold in my hands right here, claims for itself 2,500 times in the Old Testament alone that it's the Word of God. Now, either it is the Word of God or it's the biggest lie ever put out. Because it claims for itself 2,500 times in the Old Testament alone it is the Word of God.
Amen.
It's sort of like taking Jesus as a good teacher.
Yeah.
Either Jesus is the living Son of God where all the Godhead dwelt bodily in that body, God in the flesh, or he's the biggest liar that ever walked the face of the earth, because that's what he claimed. You can't have it both ways. As I look through this book, I find a beautiful passage right here in the first of Hebrews. And the gist of it is, God has spoken. Now let's look at it. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. How did he speak in time past? Well, it's sundry times. The Bible we have was written over about 1,600 years. It was written by kings and shepherds and herders and fishermen. But you know what it says? God spake at sundry times and in divers manners. And he says, sundry times over different periods of time, divers manners. He spoke to some by dreams. Daniel's one he spoke to by dreams. He spoke to Abraham and to Moses face to face. Fantastic. Blow your mind. I can see old Moses walking out there in the desert and he sees a bush that won't burn up. Hey, wait a minute, that bush should have been gone about 15 minutes ago. It's still burning. What is this strange sight? You like to see strange sights? Evidently, Moses did. He went to look at that strange sight. When he got over close to it, a voice came directly out of it, said, "Take your shoes off, fella. You're on holy ground."
Right.
Why are you on holy ground? You're talking to God.
Amen.
You're talking to God. So he spoke at sundry times, various times. He spoke in divers manners, different ways. In time past, unto the fathers, by the prophets. A priest is a man who goes to God for the people. A prophet is a man who goes to the people for God. So as I look in the Bible, I find prophets speaking the Word of God. At any rate, that's how God spoke to the fathers in time past. Now notice. Has in these last days spoken unto us by the Son. Amen.
Amen.
By His Son. Now let's look at who He's spoken to us by here. Whom He hath appointed heir of all things. This Son is the heir. He's going to inherit. Everything belongs to Him. Did you know that?
Amen.
Over in Revelation it calls Him the Prince singular of the kings plural of the earth. Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
He's the one prince that's going to inherit everything every king's got. When Jesus Christ comes again, my friend, He is the heir. Your land belongs to Him. Your bank account, He's going to own. Every tree that you got, my friend, it's His. The silver and the gold are His, and the cattle on 1,000 hills are His. Praise God.
Amen.
He's the heir of all things. By whom also He made the worlds. He is the creating God. Whatever was made by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If Jesus didn't make it, it didn't get made. Did you understand that?
Amen.
He's the mighty God. He's the Word of God. He's the expression of God. When He speaks, things happen.
Amen.
It says, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory. Hey, Jesus. Jesus isn't a lesser God or a created God, as Jehovah's Witness would teach you. He's not anything less than the very brightness and the fullness of God Almighty.
Amen.
The brightness of the glory of God. And the express image of His person. The express image of His person. Do you think God the Father's got a personality? Jesus got a different one? The Holy Spirit's got a different one? You're mistaken.
Amen.
Jesus said, "He that has seen me has seen the Father."
Amen.
Philip, you want to see the Father? How long have I been with you, and yet you don't know me yet, Philip? Over in the book of Isaiah, it calls him the mighty God, the everlasting Father.
Amen.
Jesus is God, fully God, completely God, totally God, nothing less than God.
Amen.
It says the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power. Have you ever wondered why things don't just fly off? You say, well, gravity. What's gravity? You know what gravity is? Go ask a college professor what gravity is. He don't know what gravity is.
Amen.
The best man in town don't know what gravity is. You know what gravity is? It's Jesus.
Amen.
Look here, it says, upholding all things by the word of His power. That's gravity, the will of God.
Amen.
God says you're going to stay together, and it stays until He decides you're going to separate, and when He does, it's going to separate.
Amen. Amen.
Upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins. People in religion are all the time trying to get in on the act of salvation. Ah, now you got to believe in Jesus and be baptized.
Yeah.
Baptized, baptized. You got to believe in Jesus and be baptized.
Yeah.
Ah, but you got to believe in Jesus and join the church. Oh, but you got to believe in Jesus and keep the Ten Commandments. You got to believe in Jesus and hang on faithful to the end. You got to believe in Jesus and. By Himself.
Yes.
You didn't have any part in it.
Amen.
Your preacher didn't have any part in it. Your church didn't have any part in it. By Himself! He didn't need any help.
Amen.
He said, I can handle this job all by myself.
Amen.
I don't need any help. By Himself purged our sins. He did it by Himself. Then He set out. You know what a fellow does when he sets down? He's through.
Yeah.
He finished it. I like people who finish what they do. Amen? He finished it. He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, being made so much better than. And by the way, that's the phrase of Hebrews. You can study the book of Hebrews, which I'm not going to do today. But you can look at the little word better. Jesus is better than the angels. Jesus is better than Moses. Jesus is better than Aaron. Jesus is better than. Just read it. He's better than. Being made so much better than the angels, as He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name. You remember we studied on name here a while back?
Yeah.
Hey, did you know I didn't read this verse to you, did I? There's a whole lot of verses I didn't read to you. I just don't have time to read them all to you. But you ought to study the name of Jesus Christ, a very important Bible study.
Amen.
He's got a more excellent name.
Amen.
How excellent is that name? There's none equal to it.
Amen.
There's none even close to it. There aren't any you can put on the same scale to measure by. Read the greatest names of history. Read them all. Doesn't make any difference. George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, Abraham, Moses, put anybody. They don't get on the same scale as Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's the name you pray in. That's the name you believe in. That's the name you call in. That's the name you get saved in. That's the name you go into glory on, my friend. Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus is the name.
Amen.
Well, it said God spoke to the fathers by the prophets. But God has spoken to us by His Son, the Lord Jesus. Amen. God has spoken in the old time, and God has spoken in the present time. But the important message is, God has spoken. And the old question of mankind, and there are plenty of people out here searching, maybe some of you here today, you're searching, what can I believe in? Is there anything I can put my confidence in? Is there any sure word anywhere? Is there anything I can bank on? Anything I can count on? Well, you can't count on Goodyear, and you can't count on General Motors, and you can't even count on the United States, and you can't count on the dollar bill. What can you count on? A lot of people are looking. And you know, there's a lot of problem today, because 27 years ago when I began to preach the gospel, I could knock on a door, and I went in bars. Pull that old book out and say, fella, I want to talk to you about Jesus Christ. You believe this is the Bible? The Word of God? He said, I believe it's the Word of God. Man's lost on the road to hell. Believe the Word of God. I'd go out and knock on some doors. I mean, in some rough areas. I say, I'm Lendell Kincaid. I'm a preacher of the gospel. I can talk to you about your soul. Come in, preacher. Have a seat. They didn't like me. They didn't want me in there, but they respected the Word of God, and they respected the man of God, and they invited you in. Try knocking on doors today.
Amen.
Most of the people who knock on doors today don't even get in the door.
Right.
You don't get any respect. And by the way, whenever I went out, I said, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Do you believe it? I said, yep, it's in the book, I believe. I'm serious.
Amen.
Now then I walk into the house, I say, the Bible says, what Bible? Which Bible? The Bible says, I don't believe that Bible. The Bible says, you sure you got a good translation? The Bible says, boy. What's the devil done? The devil has literally stolen the sword out of the church's hand. And what good's a soldier without his sword? He lost Japan. Has God spoken? Yes, He has. Now, there are a lot of people that would say, okay, God's spoken. God spoke like Shakespeare spoke. He was inspired. And these men back here were poets like Shakespeare, and they wrote their poetic prose, and they gave it a source. God has spoken, yes, and somewhere within Psalm 100, there is a message from God, but we don't really know which part it is. Well, we really can't be sure. Now, we know God's spoken, and we got this whole wall of books and manuscripts and texts and definitions and lexicons and whatever. And somewhere within this is contained the Word of God. Now, it may not be in the actual words, because God just gave them thoughts, and they use their own words, and so you can switch any words you want to switch, but you'll sooner or later, you'll get the message. You'll get it. Try that. You try. God spake. Has God spoken? The Bible claims He has. Now, you say, what is the doctrine of the apostles? Well, I want to tell you, the doctrine of the apostles is verbal inspiration.
Amen.
If you want to take what the Bible claims for itself, as far as I'm concerned, either take what it claims for itself or put the book on the shelf and forget it. Either let it speak for itself or put it away. I don't really want to know what you think. I really don't care what you think. I've been listening to what people thought for years. I was taught what people thought most of my life. I finally found out what God said.
Amen.
And I don't even care what you think about what God said. How's that grab you?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You say, well, I'm offended. Well, don't let your shirt tail hit your tail as you go out the door. Amen? Just go ahead. I'll be sad for you, but I won't chase you, and I'll cry about 2 seconds tonight when I go home. It'll really burden me that you don't like the Bible. That'll really burden me. It better burden you. It better burden you. What does this book claim for itself? What did the apostles believe? Well, there are a lot of different ideas. You go to any different college classes, Bible classes, wherever, they're going to give you a lot of different ideas about the Word of God and about the Bible. They was inspired like Shakespeare, or that certain parts of it are right, certain parts of it aren't right, or that some of them, like Thomas Jefferson, cut everything out that Jesus didn't say. Thomas Jefferson's Bible was the words in red. Now, if it wasn't the words in red, you couldn't count on it. Do you know the guy that wrote the words in red wrote the words in black right beside it?
Amen.
Hey, you big dummy, why don't you grow up a little bit? Think a little bit.
Amen.
If you can't accept the words in black, you can't accept the words in red either. And what those poor fellows do before they had printing that would print in different colors? They were in real bad shape, weren't they? There are a lot of different ideas about inspiration. There's the idea that, of course, it's like Shakespeare. Others, that parts of it are inspired. Others of it, that the thought is inspired, but the words really don't count. You can substitute any word as long as you stay with whatever thought you got in your head. Well, I want you to understand that by verbal inspiration, I mean that the words are inspired.
Amen.
Now then, even among good fundamental believers, people who win souls, people who believe the book, people who go out and knock on doors, under verbal inspiration, they come up with a nice paper tiger. And they stand up and fight on the verbal inspiration of the original.
Yeah.
I want you to understand, that sounds real good. But it's not worth the paper it's printed on.
Amen.
Verbal inspiration of the originals. There isn't anybody in the world got an original.
Amen, brother.
I mean, the Catholic Church doesn't have an original.
Amen.
I want you to know the Greek Orthodox don't have an original. I want you to know the cemetery you went to didn't have an original either.
Amen.
I want you to know what they sported as the Greek. The Greek was either Nestle's or Westcott and Hart or the Textus Receptus or one of 50 Greek New Testaments. And they're all copies of copies of copies of copies. Nobody's got an original. They didn't make books back then that good. What happened to them? Well, whoever had the original used it and thumbed it till they wore it out and made him a copy and got another.
Amen.
Well, I'm not going to deal with Greek and manuscripts and a lot of things today, which I could, but I'm not going to. I'm going to tell you what the Word of God says about itself.
Amen.
Verbal inspiration, and by verbal inspiration, I mean the words are inspired.
Amen.
Now let's see what the Bible claims for itself. Turn to Acts chapter 1, verse 16. If you haven't got these marked in your Bible, mark them. Write on that book. That's what it's for. get you a pen out or highlight it or something. I want to show you something. I want to read something. Peter is preaching. Verse 15 says, in those days Peter stood up. Verse 16, he says, men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before us concerning Judas. Did you catch the words? Did you know what? I want you to understand that the Apostle Peter, want the doctrine of the apostles? The Apostle Peter believed that the Holy Ghost used David's mouth. Did I read that to you right? I mean, am I throwing something in at you? No. The Holy Ghost by the mouth of David. Now we're looking a little bit of English. Did you know the subject of sentence cannot be the object of a preposition? Oh yeah, I threw you too far back, I know. But I want you to know by is a preposition, mouth is the object of it, of is a preposition, David is the object of it. What's the subject of that sentence? Holy Ghost! What did it say? It said the Holy Ghost spake. Who's the Holy Ghost? God!
Amen.
The Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake. And do you know what Peter is talking about? He's talking about the Word of God written a long time after David's death. Copy after copy after copy after copy has been copied by the scribes. And when old Peter picked it up, he didn't have the original. David lived 900, 1,000 years ahead of him. He doesn't have the original. He's got a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy, and he said, the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake, and he quotes it.
That's right. Amen.
You say, well, I won't believe what the apostles believe. The apostle Peter believed in the verbal inspiration of King David. Mm-hmm. That when David spoke, and it was written down, what came out was not David's words, but the words of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Oh, well, maybe Peter's a little confused. Turn over back to Acts 28. Let's see if Paul believed in the verbal inspiration. Anybody?
Amen.
Acts 28, verse 25. Get it and mark it down in your Bible. Circle a few words. It wouldn't hurt you. Maybe you can answer some heretic that messes with you somewhere down the line. When they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word. Well spake Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers. Well spake 2nd Isaiah, 3rd Isaiah, 4th Isaiah unto our fathers. You know, it's a big controversy in most cemeteries as to which part of Isaiah was. Isaiah 1, Isaiah 2, Isaiah 3, Isaiah 4. Paul didn't say anything about that. You know what Paul said? Well spake the Holy Ghost! Well spake the Holy Ghost! The Holy Ghost spoke by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers. Let me tell you something else. The Apostle Paul believed in the verbal inspiration of Isaiah, who was written 700 years before him.
Amen.
Written down the prophet Isaiah. And he quotes Isaiah, but when he says, when he quotes the writings of Isaiah, do you notice what he did? He didn't say it was Isaiah. He said the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Well spake the Holy Ghost. What do I mean by verbal inspiration? I mean that when David spoke, I mean that when Isaiah spoke, that they spoke Scripture. I mean that when they spoke the words of God. And that it actually came from God, and that God chose the words.
Amen.
You better pay attention to me.
Amen.
Because I'm going to lock you in down here in a little ways. I give you the truth. Is that what it said? Okay. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 2:13. Just sort of pushing you through the book, easy like. Now many people will believe that the Old Testament is inspired, and because of the years of age, 400 years from Malachi to John the Baptist, therefore 400 years gives antiquity to writing, and therefore the people grew up and believed, okay, these old, old writings are inspired, but that the early church didn't believe in the inspiration of Peter, Paul, James, and John, and whoever else was writing the Word. They believed in the inspiration of ancient writings like Moses and David and Isaiah. But they didn't believe in the verbal inspiration of men who were preaching to them in the flesh in the first century. What did they believe? I've also heard it said that Paul didn't believe that he was inspired like the Old Testament scriptures were, and Peter didn't either, and so on. Well, look at 1 Corinthians 2:13. Here's what Paul says. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Who's doing the teaching? The Holy Ghost. comparing spiritual things with spiritual, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him. Amen. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And the words we teach you are not our words. Is that what Paul is saying? The words which we teach you are the words of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is God. The Holy Ghost is God. I want you to know, Paul not only believed in the verbal inspiration of Isaiah, Paul believed in the verbal inspiration of Paul. Paul believed in the verbal inspiration of Paul. You say, okay, so he's a big egotist and he thinks he's really speaking for God, but the early church didn't believe that. Well, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13.
Amen.
1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God which effectually worketh also in you that believe.
Amen.
I want you to know, not only did Paul believe in the verbal inspiration of Isaiah 700 years before, Paul not only believed in the verbal inspiration of Paul, which he restates again right here, but the early church believed in the verbal inspiration that the words they got out of the apostles were the words of the living God.
Amen.
The early church believed in the inspiration of the apostles. When he says over there in Acts chapter 2, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, that's what we go by, the apostles' doctrine. That's what we have here, the apostles' doctrine. Somebody says, there's a creed I used to quote as a little boy, I believe in the apostles' doctrine. Bless your heart, that's saying I believe in the Word of God.
Amen.
And most of the people who quote that don't believe it.
Amen.
They don't believe in the apostles' doctrine. They're just quoting some statement somebody wrote down for them years and years and years ago. The apostles' doctrine is the Word of God that we have right here. And the early church there believed in the verbal inspiration of Paul. Amen?
Amen.
Look at you with 2 Timothy 3:15. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
Amen.
What do you say?
Amen.
You're a blessed son, Timothy. You know why you're blessed? From a child you've known the Holy Scriptures. What are they able to do? Well, a lot of people know the Holy Scriptures. Well, they're able to make you wise unto salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. Everybody that quotes Scripture isn't saved.
No.
Everybody preaches Scripture isn't saved.
Right.
Everybody believes Scripture isn't saved. But if you know enough Scripture by the grace of God, one of these days the Holy Spirit will turn it on you and turn to Jesus and get saved.
Amen.
Amen.
I didn't know much when I got saved. Oh, I'd memorized a lot of Beatitudes in the 23rd Psalm, and I'd been to Sunday school, and I got little stars by my name, and I got some other things till I got big enough to quit going. And you know something? In the front bedroom of a trailer house in Roswell, New Mexico, I could say to God, I don't know a lot, but I know that I've heard that if I meant business and sincerely call on Jesus Christ, you'd save my soul. And that's all I'm going on, Lord. I've heard that you'd save people who repented of their sins and called on Jesus, and that's what I'm doing tonight. He saved my soul.
Amen.
I'm thankful somebody back down the line fed a little word to me.
Yeah.
I'm thankful somebody put something in my mind. I'm thankful somebody gave me a little bit of faith. I'm thankful somebody witnessed to me. I'm thankful one day I acted on that faith and said, oh Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
Amen.
I'm going to hell. I'm scared of hell. I don't want to go to hell.
Amen. Amen.
I was a gambler most of my life before I'm saved, and I guess I'm pretty much a gambler still. You got to bet the percentages, man. You got to bet the odds. And you're an absolute fool if you play with your soul and go to hell when you had a chance to go to heaven.
Amen.
And that night I said, Lord, I'm playing. I'm playing. I'm playing with something eternal. I'm playing with my eternal soul. And I don't want to go to hell. And I've heard. And on what I've heard, I believe. And what I believe, I'm acting on. I'm calling on Jesus Christ. And He saved my soul and changed my life. Well, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. A lot of people don't believe the Scripture is profitable. It's out of date. I was talking to a woman one time having trouble in a marriage. I said, the Bible tells you to obey your husband. She says, I don't care what the Bible says. I won't obey any man. I said, okay, disobey God then.
Amen. Amen.
I didn't get many women saying amen on that, did I? You're raised wrong, ladies. You've been raised wrong. You've been raised in the wrong generation. You think your freedom is to do as you please. You're going to meet Christ at the judgment seat of Christ one day. Is this the Word of God? Has God spoken? Did God speak about marriage?
Amen. Amen.
If God spoke about marriage, you better find out what God said about marriage.
Amen.
I had a man one time, I was getting ready to go to the mission field. Real nice fellow, liked me a whole lot, followed me around every place I preached. And I'm leaving for the mission field, independent faith missionary, no board backing me, anything like that. He said, brother, I really would like to support you, but my wife won't let me. Wait a minute, come on. I mean, I hung my head. I said, I don't believe this man actually would admit to that and tell it to me. It might be one thing to have ignored it and to have forgotten it and I could have went on, but my wife won't let me. I said, who works at your house? He said, I do. Well, your wife doesn't work out. No, it's not her money. Your wife won't let you. You don't have a house built on the Word of God.
Amen.
Oh, excuse me. Didn't mean to meddle today. Amen. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It's profitable. You could get profit from it. Most of you like a prophet. Will you like a prophet? I look at a bunch of people that are profit hungry. Let them put sale on. They'll raise the price $15 and put sale on it. You rush into the store to buy it. I knew a guy that ran a store one time. He had an item for 25 cents that was not selling. He marked it up to 29 cents and put sale on it and sold every one of them out in 2 days' time. He literally did it. Marked it up to 29 cents and put for sale on it and sold every one of them. Didn't have a one left by the end of the week. You're profit hungry. You looking for profit. Oh boy, if I could just invest here, if I could buy that car. Oh, they got a real deal. I mean, boy, the interest rate's down. Oh, we need to get a house right now while it's a boy. Oh, but Daddy, those tennis shoes are so cheap. They're on sale. They're only $75, Daddy. I mean, those are great tennis shoes. Amen and amen. But Daddy, I gotta wear Calvin Klein's. I mean, you know. I mean, all the girls would make fun of me if I didn't have Calvin Klein's on.
Amen.
Amen. Well, if I don't go in the mod style, I mean, people look down on me. So what? The people looking down on you are probably gonna spend eternity in hell anyway. The other day we had a nice little party at the school where I teach, and they had a big sign over the teacher's place where you get all your garbage that file 13 material that pass out to you all the time. But they had this big sign over it says, TGIF party. Everybody come. If you don't come, you're a square. I said, just fits me fine. I'm square. I'm going to a city that's square three ways.
Amen.
I want you to know it's so square, it's a cube.
Amen.
It's as deep as it is wide. It's as wide as it is high. It's a cube.
Amen.
And I'm a square and I fit right in.
Amen.
So what? Maybe you ought to wear a little patch blue jeans a little bit in your life. You might be better off. Amen.
Amen.
It's profitable. Profitable for doctrine. Where do you get your doctrine? It says the Scripture is profitable for doctrine. Where do you get your doctrine? You know, it says it's profitable for reproof. I've had some people over the years. I've been preaching a long time. And I've never been really sweet. It's not my nature.
Man,
sorry about that. But at any rate, that's the way it goes. You got to live with it. I got to live with your personality. You jar me too. I mean, that's all right.
Amen,
so you
got
to put up with me.
Amen.
In a family, we got to put up with each other. I've had people reprove me for being too loud, too long, preaching too hard, offending too many people. I haven't had them reprove me from the book yet.
No. Amen. Good point, brother.
Amen.
And those that leave and fuss and start a fight, they've told me, learned more Bible at your place in the short time I was there and learned any place in my life.
Amen.
Where's your reproof coming from?
Amen.
Amen.
Where's your, you offend people and run them off. Maybe they're supposed to be run off. You ever think about that?
Amen.
Maybe if you haven't got a thick enough hide to take the Word of God, maybe you ought to go someplace else.
Yeah.
Years ago, I got tired of going around sticking a bottle in some baby's mouth and burping them. They get colic. You know how babies get colic?
Yeah. Isn't a baby such a sweet little thing? Oh, they're so lovely. You hold them like they start spitting up all over you. I had five. I love them all. But you know, I know Christians like that. You just got to sit them and rock them and rock them and rock them. And you got a whole church full of them. Just rock them and rock them and rock them. And one of them starts crying over here. And you run over and you change their diaper. And you and you stick a little bottle in their mouth. And you put the pacifier and you rock them and you rock them and you rock them. And then tomorrow they get sick again. They get weak. Oh, they get offended. They say, "Wah! Wah!" And everybody hears them. "Wah!" I'm not real good with babies. Never have been. I don't plan on improving. You know how I deal with a baby that cries? I stick a body's mouth, spank him, put him in bed, and say, "Crack, crack." I literally trained my boys to cry quiet. I said, "You can cry all day long, but don't make me suffer listening to it." And they learned how to do it. It's an amazing thing, but it's a beautiful thing. Sometimes I got a little girl like Susie. Susie loves talking. She didn't hear a word, Susie. She must be back in the nursery. What? Hey, Susie, praise the Lord. Where are you? Look at her hiding back there. That's my sweet girl. Once she started talking, she hasn't got quiet yet. And every once in a while, my ears hurt. And I said, "Susie, I love you very much. Would you give your mouth a rest?" You know what? People always tell me that wasn't going to be sweeter and kinder and tender. Don't preach so hard. Don't preach so loud. You offend their ears. You offend their heart. You offend everything they got. You know something? You know something? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we're having a time. Aren't you happy, Cain? You caught me on a good day, didn't you? Oh, boy. Praise the Lord. Just getting started today. There are churches all over this town that preach the gospel, and they are nurseries set up for it.
Yeah.
If you are a baby, you don't have a thick hide, nobody can talk bad to you, nobody can ever offend you, go there.
That's right.
Amen.
I don't have time for it.
No.
I'm looking for some people with a thick hide and a backbone like a railroad tie. They've got a little bit of sticker in them, and maybe out of a few of them, I can find a few soldiers who want to enlist in an army and stand up and be counted.
Amen.
You say, "You don't like babies." I love babies. I don't have time to teach them all the time. I want to win them. I want to grow them. But when they start being a crybaby, spoiled, rotten, and everything doesn't go their way, they're going to swell up and boo-hoo and cry. Well, just go cry somewhere else. It ain't going to work on you. You can cry all day long. It doesn't do me any harm. And I mean, I don't plan on listening to it. You know, I want somebody that can do what Steve preached about this morning.
Yeah.
I want somebody that can endure a few things. Somebody who knows how to follow instructions. Somebody says, "I have a Lord. I mean, I can obey. I am a servant. I can obey. I don't have anything that belongs to me. Do what you want to with me, Lord. I'll praise your name for it." I want to see somebody like that.
Amen.
And we live in a generation of Casper Milk Toast Christianity.
Right.
We want a preacher who dresses with a coat and tie, who has his hair styled at the beauty shop, wears patent leather shoes, speaks in a quiet voice, a 15-minute sermonette for Christians who smoke cigarettes.
Amen.
Oh, excuse me, I didn't mean to offend you.
Amen.
Did I hurt your feelings? Bless your little round-pointed head. Amen. He said, "Profitable for reproof." What do you reprove with? The Word of God.
Amen, brother.
The only reproof worth having is comes out of the Word of God.
Amen.
If you can't reprove them from the Word of God, you best shut your mouth.
Amen.
Because you might be reproving from man's judgment.
Amen.
And you might find yourself teaching tradition, though it be Baptist tradition or Methodist tradition, maybe not Catholic tradition, but you might find yourself at the judgment seat of Christ a teacher of tradition rather than the Word of the living God.
Amen.
And Jesus bad-mouthed Jewish tradition, he had bad-mouthed Catholic tradition, he bad-mouthed Baptist tradition, and he might bad-mouth your tradition.
Amen.
But all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. Have you ever been corrected?
Yes.
You ever notice how some people get all upset when they get corrected?
Yes.
I mean, they can't stand to be corrected.
Yeah.
I guess they're always right, like my wife. She's never been wrong. Always right. Corrected. Sometimes you need to get a little correction. Where do you get it? From the Word of God. For instruction in righteousness. What do you call righteous? What do you call righteousness? Oh, I think somebody's righteous who does this. They dress up real nice and they go to church every week. They're right. I think they're righteous if they teach Sunday school. What do you call righteousness? You better find out from the Word of God what righteousness is. Maybe what you got for righteousness is sin. Do you ever think what you're doing for worship might be sin? What you're doing for worship might be an abomination in the face of God. What you're doing for worship, God despises. What you've given Him, He hates, are like some Christmas presents. Have you ever thought about buying people things for Christmas? I really won't get on Christmas today, but just a thought. Most of the things you get for Christmas, you can't use and didn't want.
Yeah.
What was the use of getting it? You ever thought about that? You ought to think about that. I won't get on that, though. I better quit chasing rabbits.
Yeah.
Why do we have all this? Why do we have the Scripture? Why is it profitable? That the man of God may be perfect, full-grown, complete, solid, a man, a spiritual man, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The purpose of the church is not to add numbers.
Amen.
The purpose of the church is to grow full-grown, perfect men that can do good works.
Amen.
The purpose of the church is not to please the neighborhood. The purpose of the church is not to have a church school. The purpose of the church is not to run a bus line. The purpose of the church is to grow full-grown soldiers of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We ought to be judged on the quality we turn out, not how many people pack the parking lot.
Yeah.
Or how many kids we can get in by hiding dollars under bus seats.
Oh,
we might ought to be judged on how many people don't like us.
Right.
Rather than on how many do. Look down chapter 4. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living, the quick, the living, and the dead, at His appearing in His kingdom. Preach the word.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Preach the word. When God called me to preach, He didn't call me to build organizations.
No.
He didn't call me to go out and see how many I could baptize. He didn't call me to enroll in a Dale Carnegie course, how to win friends and influence people. You know what He called me to do? He said, preach the word.
Amen.
When I read in the Old Testament, those old prophets stood up and preached the word. Some people didn't like them.
That's right.
Have you ever noticed when Paul preached the word to the people of God, they stoned him and left him for dead?
Right.
You know how many lashes the man had on his back when he gave his count? He had 5 times 39. That's 195 lashes on his back. You know, he'd been bent double. They took something like a baseball bat and they tried to break his spine. I imagine a little old man walked around crippled the rest of his day. I don't imagine he had a very pretty face.
Mm-hmm.
He had scars on it from rocks. And the lash, when it came around, he caught him. He said, preach the word. If they like it, if they don't like it. If it's in season or it's out of season, preach the word.
Amen.
Hey, that's good, isn't it? Amen.
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 Work can I find?
Yeah. Man.
There's 50 Bibles. They all say the same thing. You haven't looked at them.
That's right. Amen.
They don't say the same thing.
Amen.
That's right.
Do you know why there's so many Bibles today? I can give you several reasons. Number one reason is Satan wanted to confuse the church, and he's done a good job of it.
Amen.
But I can tell you why each group comes with their new Bible. When the Jehovah's Witnesses come to your house with a New World Translation, they've changed Colossians 2:9.
Right. Amen.
In Him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you're complete in Him. They rewrote that verse.
Yeah. Right.
They made it the way they like it. They changed it according to their doctrine. And every one of those new Bibles coming out since 1881 has changed it because they didn't like the doctrine taught in the one you got in your hand.
Amen.
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 That's right. Amen.
You say, well, these are all sincere men just translating the word because they want you to have the truth. That is a lie and it's a joke.
Amen.
Bibles are worth a lot of money. This one I have now would sell for over $100 if you could buy it.
It's a seal skin, and you can't even buy a seal skin anymore.
Right law. Praise the Lord, I got it before they changed the law. But at any rate, my second one.
I used to buy a $25 Bible and wear it out in 6 months. It'd just be look shabby. I said, "Won't you get a new Bible? I just bought that 6 months ago." I went out to the Baptist bookstore one time, and I bought a Bible, and I was a full-time evangelist. And I beat on that thing and I written on it, and I had it marked all the way through. And 6 months later, it looked like it had been in a dogfight. I walked back in. I said, "I told you to sell me a good Bible." I said, "Yeah." The fellow knew me. I said, "Yeah, I know it." I said, "Take a look at that thing." He said, "You're hard on Bibles, preacher. You're hard on Bibles." I said, "Hard on Bibles? I told you to sell me a good one." I said, "Do you have a good one in the house?" He said, "The best one made." He pulled that thing out. At that time, it was way back yonder. That was $32.50. I said, "Oh, goodness." Like a fortune. But I picked it up, and it looked that good 10 years later on the outside. The pages were coming loose for things that happened to them. They were written all over me. They were right all over my body. But the outside still looked good. So you know what I did? I went out and bought another one just exactly like it. Cost me a lot more money. But I bought it. What about the Word of God? What do we have? Say, well, it costs a lot of money. You know what costs a lot of money? Make somebody money. Yeah. Now, if you've got a King James and everybody's got a King James, how am I going to sell Bibles? Well, I got to get a new translation that you don't have. And you really don't have the truth unless you have this new one. This is done by the greatest scholars of our generation. This one here is going to throw light on it. I mean, when you get this new, we got this new one that we only use 1,000 words. No tough words. All you kids that don't want to study, we just give it to you. You can get it with fifth grade English, you know? They got Bibles for every excuse under the sun.
Right.
They got the living word for dead people.
Amen.
Amen.
The word's not alive, it's dead.
Amen.
Oh, and then they got those for the scholars where they take a little bit out of everybody's and throw them all together. And you can read, "He is blessed, he's happy, he's fortunate, he's to be envied, he's all." Try to read the Bible that way sometime. It'll steal your joy.
That's right.
Amen.
It'll take away your confidence. I used to preach, and of course they'd suckered me for a while in schools, and they'd show me that Nestle's Greek New Testament. It's not in there. I said, "Yeah, it's not in there." Oh, it hurt me all over. I got to where before I would preach, I would study all 30 translations I had, plus a Greek lexicon, and then I didn't know what it said.
Mm-hmm.
Really wasn't sure.
That's right.
Amen.
And so I finally come to a place, even back in those days, before I believe what I believe now, I said, "If it differs from the old King James, I'm going to go with the King James."
That's right.
And then I finally quit reading the other translations as I was fighting some other preacher. And I'd go to them and try to eat his lunch on his own territory. Where do you find the Bible? Go to the bookstore. They'll sell you this one, this one, this one, this one. They'll sell you a red one, a blue one, a yellow one, a chartreuse one. They'll sell you one with pages in red, pages in green. They'll sell you one that's marked and underlined for you. They'll sell you one that'll teach you how to win people to Christ. They'll sell you all sorts of things. They'll sell you one with modern words. They'll sell you one with easy words. They'll sell you one with hard words. They'll sell you one with Greek words. Preach the word. Where do I find it? Preach the word. How do I know where it is? I believe I can show you. Without quoting one Greek word. I believe I can show you and give you a little answer today to help you the rest of your life if you just believe the book. Now, turn if you will back to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4 and let's look at the words of Jesus. See if we can find the word. Is there any help for us clodhoppers? Is there any help for the common man? Is there any help for us dumb, ignorant people that have worked towards a doctor's degree? Is there any help for us that we can find the Word of God? Well, let's see. Matthew 4:4. Jesus is dealing with the devil, and he answers him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Common statement. You probably memorized that. You know it, but you missed it. You know what that says? What Jesus said, words in red, people. Do you think words in red are important? Words in red, people. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
Mouth of God.
Every word. And you know what he did? He quoted the Old Testament.
Right.
Amen. He quoted. Now let me ask you something. Man shall live then by every word. If you don't have every word, you can't fulfill it.
That's right.
If some of the chapters are missing, you're in trouble.
Right.
If some of the verses are missing,
you're in trouble.
If the last part of Mark isn't there, and the first 8 verses of John chapter 8 aren't there, you're in trouble. How can you fulfill that? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word.
Amen.
Every word.
Let me tell you what I believe by that right there. I think that proves something to me.
May not to you, proves it to me. Every word's around.
Amen.
Amen. Every word's here. Every word is available.
I think that proves it. Out of the mouth of Jesus. Somewhere in those 50 translations into English, somewhere in all those lexicons, somewhere in all that bookshelf of books, somewhere, every word of God is available for you. You see that? Boy, you're quiet. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35.
The statement's made 3 times in the Bible. 3 times in the Bible. I'm going to quote it to you 1 time.
Yeah. 3 times. Matthew 24:35. Underline it. Highlight it. Write your name beside it. Say praise God. Amen or something. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away.
Let me tell you what the seminary professors and the college professors and most of the preachers in this town today are telling their people, even this morning, some of the words have passed away.
Right. Amen.
They say it's missing, it's not there, you can't find it, we don't know what it says, if we just have the original.
That's right.
They think God wrote a perfect book originally and then lost it. You may have a God that stumbles out of bed in the morning and trips over his shoes, but I don't.
Amen.
You may have a God that loses his keys somewhere down at work and can't get home, but I don't.
Amen.
You may have a God that goes to sleep or goes on vacation or loses it, something he started out with. I don't.
Amen.
Your God may be a monkey, mine's not.
Amen.
Heaven and earth shall pass away.
Do you know what most people in this world are looking for? This thing to last forever. You know how I know? They're investing every dime they got in it.
That's right.
Amen. They're living for it. They're working for it. They're enjoying pleasures. They don't have any. Oh, not pass away. If that statement is true, they never have passed away, and they haven't passed away today.
That's right. Amen.
You need to go to Greek to find out.
Amen.
Right out of your English Bible.
Amen.
Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not. If they shall not, they never have, they aren't now, and they never will. Amen. Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 4, the Word of God is available because you need every word of it. Amen. Jesus told us in Matthew 24, the Word of God is available. It's here. Every word's here.
There's not a word missing. Somebody said, if I could just find the epistle to lay out a seed, I'd accept it, you dummy. Satan will give it to you if you really want it. If it's not between the covers of a black-back King James Version of the Bible, I won't accept it.
Amen.
And I'll go to the judgment seat of Christ on it.
Amen.
Well, let's look at another verse.
Amen, brother.
How do we know which one is the Word of God? Can we find it? Well, there's a lot of good soul-winning people say, grab your sword.
Get your sword. Everybody pick a sword. Everybody pull a sword. Everybody grab a sword. Let's go soul-winning. And some people go soul-winning with good news for modern man. Some people go, Southern Baptists passed out millions of them. Mm-hmm. They translated that stupid thing into Spanish and gave them away all over Mexico.
Right. Yeah.
Everywhere. Everywhere. All sorts of things. Living letters.
Mm.
Living letters. New International Version. Let's go soul winning. Pick a sword. Pick a sword. Everybody get a sword. You pick your sword, a little sword. You pick a big sword. You pick a black sword, a red sword, a yellow sword. You pick one with jewels on it. You pick one wrapped up in seal skin. You pick, just pick a sword. That's a mistake, my friend. Mm-hmm. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17.
Ephesians 6:17.
Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
Amen.
The antecedent of which is the sword of the Spirit. The sword is the Word of God.
The sword the Holy Spirit uses to do His battle is the Word of God. Hey, that's a good verse. You didn't know that's a good doctrinal verse, did you? But it is. The sword of the Holy Spirit. You know, most of these preachers that now are preaching to you out of New International Version or the New American Standard Version or the New Schofield or the New whatever, They were saved out of an old King James Bible.
That's right. Right. Amen. Amen.
You know, most of you sitting in this room right now, when you got saved, it was a King James Bible.
Amen. Amen.
You know, your father, he got saved. He saved out of a King James Bible.
Right. Right.
You know, the greatest movement of missionary work in all the world was during the period of time of the King James Bible.
Amen.
Did you know that for 370 years, it's been the Bible, the common Bible of the common man, and that even this day, it's the bestseller?
Amen.
Yeah.
That's right.
Right. It outsells all the modern versions, maybe all of them put together.
Right.
I don't have a right to choose my own sword. Mm-hmm. You say, but brother, think about those old hard words in that thing. If you can't use a dictionary for a 1,000 archaic words, you got no business studying that book.
Right.
I mean, just forget it. You ain't going to learn anything anyway. You want it just like you had it in school. Social promotion spiritual. Social promotion spiritual.
Right.
You won't learn anything. Mm-hmm. You haven't got enough sense to take a dictionary and find out that W-O-T means no. You got no business studying this book anyway. What are you going to learn? But then we're going to put it down so simple for it. That's the most profound book ever written.
Right. Amen.
And you got to have a spiritual mind to understand it in the first place.
Amen.
And there's some old fellows down there in Mexico that couldn't read or write and understood more of the spiritual things of the Word of God than college PhDs walking down there.
Amen.
Right. Amen. It's a spiritual book. It's got to be interpreted spiritually. It's a spiritual word given by the Holy Spirit to spiritually alive people.
Amen.
The sword of the Spirit. What did you get saved by? What did the Holy Spirit use when He saved your soul?
Probably used the King James Version. Now, I can take Catholic Bible, these people are. I can take one of these new modern versions, and I have, and use them. Let me tell you what. The number one book of all time that has won more people to Christ than the original is the King James Version.
Amen.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit of God has used it in more revivals, has used it to change more lives, has used it to preach to more people. Missionaries have gone on the field that didn't know a word of Greek and Hebrew and translated directly from the King James into a native language, and whole nations have been saved.
Amen. Amen.
The sword of the Holy Spirit. You don't have a sword.
Amen.
And if you will, you should cut yourself. Amen, brother.
Amen.
I carry a sharp knife. I always keep a sharp knife. So if you ever borrow it, be careful. Every time Billy ever borrowed my knife, he cut himself. He come in bleeding. He bled all over everything. Hey, Daddy, let me borrow your knife. I said, oh, son, be careful. Be careful. He come back, oh, you know, things all over. Every finger patch, you know, arm patch, leg patch. Boy, it's dangerous with a knife. If you had a sword and you picked your own sword, it'd probably be dull. Or if it was sharp, you'd cut yourself. You had no business with one.
Amen.
You got business being in tune with the Holy Spirit of God and saying what He wants you to say. And reading what He wants you to read. And giving it when He wants you to give it. And the only way you'll ever be a soul winner is you get in tune with the Holy Spirit. Get in tune with the Holy Spirit. And let Him use His sword. You better find out which sword the Holy Spirit blesses. Amen.
Amen.
Would that give you a little help? Well, now let me give you a little lesson in revelation and prophecy. We got plenty of time. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, we're having a time. Let's look at the 7th verse of the 3rd chapter of Revelation. Let's study about the Church of Philadelphia. I don't know whether you understand it or not, but these 7 churches have 3 meanings. I think 4, but they have at least 3 that I can teach you. One, there were 7 literal churches in Asia Minor at the time when John wrote the letter in 96 AD. 7 literal actual churches in each one of these cities. 1 church for each city. He sent the message to them. That is a message. It's a historical message that went back to that day. It is also a spiritual message that can be preached to the church in any generation, because the sins you find there, you will find the same sins in all churches of all generations.
Amen.
But there is a third way, and I think the most important way for us tonight. This is a book of prophecy, and it shows the 7 stages of the whole church to the church age. The church began at Pentecost. The church will end at the rapture.
Amen.
And after the rapture, the church is not going to be on the earth. God's going to re-kick His own people, Israel.
Amen.
Now, most of the book of Revelation, chapter 4 through chapter 19, deals with a 7-year period called the tribulation, or the day of Jacob's trouble, or the time when the church is gone and God's sending His trouble on this earth.
Amen.
But chapters 2 and 3 give you the first stage of the church down to the last. This church, the Church of Philadelphia, is one of 2 that have nothing bad said against it. This church is called the Church of the Open Door. Let me read it. It's very short.
And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I've set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I'll make them which are the synagogue of Satan, which say they're Jews and not, but do lie. I'll make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which will come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Then the message still will come. The good church. This is a church that has a little strength. It hasn't denied his name. It's kept his name.
Amen.
If I can just find what word they use, I can find his word. If I can find the sword that was used, I can find it. It says the church of the open door. Let me ask you something. What happened in 1500? A Catholic priest and professor by the name of Martin Luther got a hold of the word of God. And he began to read it. And came to a truth, salvation by faith.
Amen.
Salvation by faith. Other men had come to that truth before him. John Huss, let's put the word of God out. They burned him at the stake. Other men had tried to bring the same message, and the Catholic Church squashed them. We call it the Dark Ages. 500 to 1500. The Church of the Open Door wasn't in the Dark Ages.
Right.
You go to school, they call it the Renaissance. Amen. God just opened his word and changed the whole world. And every word of the King James Bible went, freedom went with it.
Amen.
You know what blessed America?
Yes,
wasn't just had a bunch of Englishmen over here with an idea of justice. Praise God for what they had. They had a Bible over here.
Amen. Yes,
that's right.
Martin Luther stood up and a bunch of German princes stood with him. And they defied the Pope. And they saved his life. And the door squeaked open and somebody else got it. Opened up in Switzerland. Opened up in Scotland. Opened up in England, and spread to America, and spread to Canada, Australia, spread to South America. Church of the Open Door from 1500 to 1900 opened everything.
Amen.
Missionaries would go in, somebody would kill them, others would follow right behind him. Somebody would kill them, others would follow right behind him, and the whole place would get
them. Amen.
There were missionaries all over China, missionaries all over Africa, missionaries all around the world. And the door, everywhere the church batted on the doors flew open.
Amen.
From 1500 to 1900, you couldn't keep the church out. Do what you wanted to do. You couldn't stop the preaching of the word.
Amen.
And more souls were saved for heaven than all of the time put together.
Amen. Amen.
The greatest period of missionary movement since the first century, when the apostles, without a radio, television, or a printing press, or an airplane, or an automobile, covered the known world, came about. Had great revivals. Men like John and Charles Wesley stand out to preach to 30,000 people in the open air without a microphone, without a megaphone.
Amen.
We got a bunch of pussy-footing little preachers can't preach to 50 people without a microphone.
Yeah.
Spurgeon wouldn't train if he didn't have a big chest. He can't preach if he don't have some lungs.
Amen.
You think I'm loud now? Will you hear me then? I won't get hoarse up there. The greatest period of church evangelization, of reaching the world for Christ, was from 1500. It started and it spread and it spread and it spread and it spread to 1900. And everywhere the church went, she was successful. Everywhere she went, she won for Christ. What Bible did you carry? I'll guarantee you the Greek text was a text of Tacitus, because the Catholic Church didn't let anybody get to it.
Right, yes.
What they made the Nestles and the Westcott and Hart and all the rest of them, it was a text of Tacitus. It came down through the Greek side of the Roman Empire that lasted 1,000 years. While the Dark Ages were going on in Rome, Constantinople was the queen of the cities. For 1,000 years, the Greek half of the Roman Empire lived until 1498, when the church conquered Constantinople, Istanbul. It lasted 1,000 years longer than Rome. And the Textus Receptus is the Greek text that came down through the Greek half of the Roman Empire. Martin Luther's Bible was translated from it. The Geneva Bible is translated from it. The Bishop's Bible is translated from it. And the King James is translated from it. 1611.
1611. You realize how far back that is?
That's before your mother was born. A long time ago. Let me tell you something.
Right. Old John and Charles Wesley got to preaching and thousands cried. Whitfield went out and thousands came to Christ. Adoniram Judson headed off for the mission field and thousands came to Christ. Goforth went down there talking about chocolate soldiers and he didn't want to be one. And I guarantee you, thousands in India and Burma and China came to Christ. In 1881, Westcott and Hart went into a translating committee and said, we need a new Bible. And they said, we don't want to use this old Greek text. Let's take the best text from the Catholic Church, the Sinaiticus and Vatican's manuscripts, and they changed the Greek New Testament. Mm-hmm. And the old American Standard Version came with a Catholic text as its major authority. Right. And every Bible translated into English since 1881 has come with that authority. And the Greek your boys study in college and seminary comes with the Catholic authority.
Right.
Amen. Amen.
Martin Luther and John Wesley would turn over in their grave. The men of the Reformation who fought the beast, the whore.
Yes, amen.
They fought the beast and the whore. They knew what to call it.
Amen.
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 They knew what to call the Pope too.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
This modern church is forgotten. Everything right. Bought by the blood of martyrs.
Amen.
And this modern church is heading back to Rome just as fast as she can.
Right.
And when they get there, two things are going to bring them in. Two things are ripening the church today to go back to the whore.
The retranslation of the Bible so nobody has any doctrine to stand on. And the tongues move.
Yep. Yeah.
All you got to do is talk Alma Shandai, Abracadabra, bangity bang, and you're in.
Those two things, drop all doctrine beside. Oh, he's a Mormon. He talks in tongues. He's my brother. Oh, glory. That Mormon's lost and going to hell and he ain't your brother.
Amen.
Come on, wake up. Don't be stupid all your life. Grow up a little bit.
Amen.
All right, start that way. It's a shame to stay that way. Amen.
Amen.
I'm so sweet, I just amazed myself. You know what it said here? This church had his word and they kept it.
What happened after 1881?
Well, there's a group of people called the Boxers. They were anti-Christian, anti-foreign Chinese. It was a society they had. They weren't boxers. They was a society they had. They were called the Boxers. They hated all foreigners. They hated the foreign religion. You know what they did? By 1900, they started killing Christians all over China. And the doors started closing in China. Many a Christian lost his life. What happened in 1917? 1917, Russia!
Go to communists. They closed churches and killed Christians. They wiped them out.
What happened in 1946? Africa started going national. They began to throw missionaries out after country after country after country. And Africa went Muslim by the multitudes. What's happening in South America now? Kicking missionaries out, kicking missionaries out, kicking missionaries out. You live in the church in the open door.
Not on your life. You live in Laodicea.
Right.
Rich and increased with goods. And think you have need of nothing.
Yes,
and God says you're blind.
Yes.
You're blind. Miserable! Wretched!
We say, oh, we're so good. We're so sweet. And we have such power.
Look at the means of putting the gospel out. We can publish in the paper. Look at the Bibles we have. Look how many translations we can get. Look at the numbers we got going to church. Religion's up in America.
But Christianity's back.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
What happened? God started shutting doors.
Amen.
Do you think, do you really think, that God took the greatest period of church history to win more people to Christ, to establish more real Christianity in all the history of the world, and they didn't have the book, and he waited till your little smart professor gave it to you in the middle of the house. Boy, you got more faith than I got. I believe we're close to the church going out. I could be wrong, but I believe we're close to the church going out.
Amen.
Israel's in her land. Something didn't happen for 2,500 years. He's in her land. Prophecies are being fulfilled, and we fit Laodicea like a glove.
Yeah,
right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Do you know what happened?
In 1901, the Foreign Bible Society, and also in 1905, the American Bible Society switched from the text of the Septuagint, Greek text, where they're translating of all their books to the Westcott and Hawkins. God started shutting doors.
He said, you're a crazy old fanatic. That's all right. You see the book I got in my hands? I believe it.
Amen.
See the book I got in my hands? I use it.
Amen.
You haven't heard me change its word.
No. Amen.
You haven't heard me preach anything different than what's in here.
Amen.
If you prove me wrong by the book I got in my hands, I'll change what I preach.
Amen.
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 I do not have an open mind.
Amen.
The garbage can is open. You can dump anything in it. You may have an open mind. I can dump anything on you. My mind's closed. I keep a lid on it.
Amen.
I only let in what I want. I am changeable, but not evil.
Amen.
I can be changed, but my mind's made up on so many things that be hard. And you say, well, brother, what are you going to do? I'm going to go to judgment seat of Christ with this without ever changing.
Amen.
Amen.
And I'm going to preach it until I die. By the grace of God. I'm going 27 years. I hope I make it 50. I may get shot down tomorrow. I just may. Good preachers have gone away. They've been away before. You better have your comments.
Amen.
You better put it in the book.
Amen.
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 You want to tell you? Do you know it already? I mean, you know it so well you don't have to read. I mean, you've got hundreds of verses now. Do you teach it to you? When Eddie and Billy could not read before they could tell off Scarlett, both of them would quote 100 verses. Preachers used to come over to my house. Eddie, Billy, I sit there and show them off. And you're clear to quote them. What are you training them on? How do you do it? Huh? Your marriage is a mess. Why? Have you ever looked at the marriage book? Huh? You ever looked at the marriage book? Your life's a mess! Have you ever looked at the marriage book?
Amen.
Why don't you straighten it? Why don't you put a little time in the greatest book ever written? Why don't you learn it like you learn baseball scores and football scores? Do you believe it is the Word of God, or is that just an amen for Brother Kenton? Do you believe it is the Word of God?
Amen.
Is it the Word of God?
Amen.
Is it? Has God spoken?
Amen.
What did God say? Do you know? You don't have enough interest to even find out for it. You answer for it. Where'd you get your doctrine? Well, it's what so-and-so told me. It's what my daddy said. It's what I heard. I don't care what your daddy said.
No.
I don't care what you heard. I just care what God.
Amen.
I believe I've got the book in my hand. And somebody will argue, well, the Greek says, I don't care what the Greek
says.
Amen. But you're sure an ignorant fellow. I may be ignorant, but I sit through all your classes and still believe what I believe. I've been to college, I've been to seminary, I got a bachelor's degree, I got a master's degree, I got quite a few hours in psychology, I got a major and a master's degree in education in English, history, and Bible, and philosophy. I still believe this book. You may call me a nut, you may call me strange, you may call me bigoted, you may call me opinionated, but you can't call me uneducated. I said where you sat.
I still believe. Amen.
In fact, I accepted that and then rejected that. And I'm stronger on this and more anti that than I was 20 years ago. Do you believe me? Heard about that preacher Brent tells about him real well. He's always stealing my stories. I'll steal one him. I had his hat downtown on the street. He had his hat. Walked by. It's alive, man. It's alive. Look at that. It's alive. People walk by. Crowd gets people. Alive. What's that? What's that thing alive? What's he talking about? One bunch gets there. Pick it up. God is alive.
Amen.
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 Let me preach the gospel.
Amen.
It's alive.
Amen.
It is the word out of my mouth. He said, heaven and earth, my word not. Trust God to bypass the scholar.
Amen.
When Jesus came, did he come to the local cemetery where they were teaching scribes in Jerusalem?
Exactly right.
He came to a carpenter and his wife. He came down in a shepherd's stall. He wasn't born in the palace. He wasn't born at the local university. He wasn't even born at the local synagogue. He was born with common men. When he decided to change the world and to preach the gospel, who did he choose? Did he get the best fellows out of the seminary? He picked four fishermen, a tax collector, and several others of various men. And he said, I'll leave you 11. And you one of them. And he said, he'll change you. When I get through with my 11, trust me to put the Bible in.
Amen.
Can he trust you, a common man, to learn what the Bible says? You say, well, Lord, I didn't know. He said, you had the book. Lord, I didn't know. It won't hold up. Yeah, but Lord, I was too busy. Yeah, job, making money, two jobs, making more money, television, mowing the lawn, making a nice house, polishing your car. Oh, it's just too busy. Yeah, but Lord, Dallas is so much fun to me. I went to Dallas too. By the year 1961, I read the New Testament 60 times. The Old Testament 60 times. If you haven't read 50, you're going to be struggling. You read this stuff? You read this stuff? Why don't you? Why don't you know? You got no excuse. You got no excuse. Because you live in a country where you were sent to school where they tried to teach you to read and write. Whether you do it or not, they tried. And the Bible's available. You see the little green ones I got over there? I bought them for that real. That's what a hamburger and milkshake at McDonald's. Is one hamburger. Miss one meal and go to a dime store and buy you a book.
Amen.
And read it till you wear it out and then buy one you can't wear.
Ask what did God do?